After a turbulent season, both on and off track, more change is on the horizon at Alpine. Bruno Famin is leaving his role as team principal.
I'm very happy to have been the team principal in Formula One for 1 year, and I am not unhappy to leave.
Alpine is owned by Renault, but will they be powered by Renault in the future?
We had to make the announcement to the staff in Viry that there was a project to switch to a different power unit for the Alpine F1 team from 2026, and that was really a shock. The major event of the week is not my position or the team principal position at Alpine, is the potential change of power unit.
Hello and welcome to F1 Beyond the Grid with me, Tom Clarkson. In his first big interview since announcing his departure as Alpine team principal, Bruno Famin tells me why he's leaving the F1 team and why they're considering a new power unit supplier for 2026. Because times are tough for Alpine at the moment. They finished last year in their lowest constructors' position since 2017, and they then failed to score in the opening five races of 2024, and they're now well behind their main rivals. While they search for more performance, the French outfit are also looking for Pierre Gasly's new teammate for 2025, with Esteban Ocon now joining Haas. Two high-profile arrivals off track have raised expectations for progress. First, ex-Ferrari engineer David Sanchez to oversee the technical department, and second, the return of former team boss Flavio Briatore as executive advisor. But perhaps the biggest news is that staff at Viry-Châtillon, Renault Sport's headquarters near Paris, have been informed of a potential plan to switch to a different F1 power unit in 2026. Viry has designed and produced their F1 engines since the 70s. So, will Alpine become a customer team and use a power unit from Mercedes? Bruno answers all of the big questions surrounding Alpine's future. I hope you enjoy our conversation. Bruno, thank you for coming on the show. How are things?
Good. Happy to be here.
You've had a few days to reflect on the recent news cycle. So much has gone on at Alpine. How do you look back on the past 7 days or so?
To be frank, it's a bit still a bit early to think about the very recent news, because we are still very much in action. I think the big announcement was last Tuesday, where we had to make the announcement to the staff in Viry that there was a project to switch to a different power unit for the Alpine F1 team from 2026, and that was really a shock. Right now, the current engine is a bit down by 15 kilowatt, I think, is what FIA figures are saying. Renault really missed the point in 2014, when the current regulation was born, with the two hybrid system and the hybrid power unit, and Renault totally missed. But now we are 10 to 15 kilowatt down. The power unit is let's say, in average, 2/10 flap time.
Is that what 15 kilowatts translates to?
Okay. In average, because it depends on the track, of course. What we're looking for the car, the whole car, is more 1 second or 1.5 seconds. We cannot hide behind the power unit. There are different way of looking at the power unit situation. You have the performance, of course, but you have also the economical aspect of the thing. And it's a fact that the business model, to call it like that, is a bit weird. We know with the Concorde Agreement, the system of the prize fund, which is benefiting to the teams only. And on the other hand, the FIA has a financial regulation on the sporting regulation, which makes mandatory the PU manufacturer to sell at a cap price power unit to teams who would like to have it. When you see the R&D cost in developing a PU compared to buying a PU, there is a huge difference. And that huge difference is not compensated by any prize fund, because all the prize fund goes to the team. Then we are not talking about performance, we are talking about a huge difference in money.
So given the difference in cost, how much more expensive it is for you to do your own one, how seriously are you looking at... I mean, Toto Wolff has come out and said he likes the thought of supplying Alpine because he's losing Aston Martin in 26.
The difference, you know, there is no secret in the difference because we know it's official and it's public, the cost cap, the amount of money which is allowed to a PU manufacturer on the PU supply price, and the price that the PU manufacturer has to sell the PU is also public. Then it's something like 120 million euro in one hand, 17 in the other hand. Then you make the calculation. A year, of course.
So can I conclude that you are looking seriously at being a customer?
We are considering all eventualities.
You're an engine guy. How difficult was that conversation with the staff in Viry Châtillon?
In fact, it has nothing to do with being an engine guy or not. It has to do with human beings and with people who are working hard on in a project, an engine, a gearbox, or anything else, fully dedicated for years to their passion. Lucky enough to work in their passion, but to who we are saying that it won't last anymore, then of course it's very difficult, especially while to me the 2026 project for the Alpine PU was delivering quite well. A lot of investment from the people, and the first result we had were good. We had chosen to take some very, let's say, aggressive technical option, and the first result were saying that it was right to do that.
I've heard that there's a lot of positivity coming out of Viry about 2026. If you do switch to another power unit, what are you going to do with the IP, all the knowledge for 2026? There's lots of people there who know an awful lot about the new regulations.
That would be the huge challenge. With the IP, of course, it's one thing, but the real asset is the people, you know? The people, their skills. The real asset is the people, is the staff. And of course, they have been promised to have a job, but for people living for their passion, or working for their passion, it's not enough.
Give us some idea of what other projects are going on at Viry. The people who were on the F1 project, what could they end up working on?
In Viry, we are not doing only Formula 1 power unit. We are also doing other motorsport programs, the WEC Alpine program, all the development of the software, the systems. The whole project is being monitored from Viry. We are doing Formula E as well, where we developed all the FIA manufacturer perimeter for the Formula E, which is being used by Nissan and McLaren in Formula E, but everything is developed in Viry. We are monitoring the Dakar program for Dacia. We are developing also the customer activities for Renault Group with the Clio in rally or on track. Then there are a lot of activities, even if Formula One is the most part of the activities, of course. And now we will have to create new activities, more on the very high-level engineering side to get the best use of the skills of the people if they're happy to stay. And that's the challenge, to work on the high-end technologies for developing new engine, new battery, new powertrain for the future Alpine road cars. I think at Alpine there's a very interesting plan for developing the range for road cars, and for that we need very high-end technologies and skilled people, and that's a field where people may find a good opportunity to make high-level technologies development.
Can you just clarify one thing? There's been some speculation at Spa about maybe switching power unit for 2025. Can that happen?
Everything which has been presented to the staff representative and to the different governance bodies are talking about 2026.
Okay, so stick with the current power unit for 2025.
Everything which has been presented to the...
And then this brings us on to the other big news story that happened in Belgium, which concerns your future, Bruno, stepping down as team principal. How have we got to that point?
The major event of the week is not my position or the team principal position at Alpine, is the change, the potential change of power unit. This one has a real huge impact on hundreds of people and even on the nature of the project, because we perfectly have different view on the, you know, we see that there are different models now in how the manufacturers are involved in Formula One. We see it with Ford, we see it with Audi, and we can think about changing the model, but the impact on the people, on the staff is huge. And that's really the most important topic. My personal case is not a big issue, to be frank. There are two things mainly. The first one is since several weeks, you know, we have Flavio Briatore as a executive advisor to the CEO. He has his own way, his own goal, his own everything. The few weeks I work with him, I haven't got any major problem, any problem at all, even. But I don't think we have really the same approach. And it will be clearer for everybody, internally and externally, if we clarify the governance of the team. The second point is that in theory, if it's confirmed, we will have a huge transformation plan of the company, putting more resources on managing the other motorsport program, but also developing those new activities in the high technology. Then I think it's not an easy thing for all the staff there, and we need somebody to be fully dedicated to that project, and I'm quite happy to be dedicated to that. And both together, I think the decision was quite easy to take, and I have no problem with it. I'm very happy to have been as a team principal in Formula One for 1 year, and I am not unhappy to leave.
You've held many big positions within motorsport outside of Formula One, admittedly, but I'm thinking of director of Peugeot Sport when you won Le Mans, you won Dakar, you Pikes Peak, the list goes on. How different is the team principal role in Formula One to what you've experienced before?
To me, the role is not much different. The role or the challenge is still the same. It's making the people working together. That's the challenge. The difference maybe is that when you have 1,500 people between Virion and Stone, the scale is not the same, of course. Then it's a bit more complex, a bit more bureaucracy, a bit more processes, a bit more difficult to make the people working. But the goal and the success is in making the people working together efficiently. Then I think it's not really different. After, you have what may be considered different is the pressure due to the exposition of Formula One itself. Big money involved, big stake, and that's all. But the job itself, to me, is not really different.
Let's talk about 2024. How would you sum up Alpine's season so far?
So far, Alpine season is not at all what we would like it to be. When we launched the car in February, we had some fears. We had tried to be very cautious. Unfortunately, we were right to do it, because the start of the season has been really tough, very difficult. I said that it was a shock to be on the last row in Bahrain. But since we have implemented a good dynamic, I think we are building momentum. We move from the last row in Bahrain to the two cars in Q3 in Spain, which is showing a good progress. We have scored some points. We cannot be happy with the number of points we have at mid-season, for sure. But at least the trend is good, and the dynamic with the team is good. The mindset is evolving, is changing. I'm not happy with the result, but I'm happy with what I'm seeing within the team, on track, off track. I'm happy with that.
Bruno, let's take it back to Bahrain. How tough a moment was it for you to have to deal with, as you say, locking out the back row of the grid and everyone quite shocked by the performance?
Yeah, it was a shock for everyone, for me as well, of course. But in the other hand, it's it was highlighting the necessity of the changes we had already started and we needed to do. Since I'm in charge, we changed quite a lot of things. What we have seen at the start of the season is the result of what has been done before, and then somehow, even if it was again a shock, it was a confirmation that we had to change. And since we changed quite a lot of things, things are getting better, and that's the important thing. Then, from a difficult situation, at least from that situation, we saw that it was really necessary to change quite heavily the team structure, and this is what we have done.
We'll come on to that. But just from a performance point of view, what were the main issues with this car? What have you had to change to, as you say, get the car into Q3 in Spain?
The car was has different problems, like lack of traction, lack of downforce, too much drag, not enough power. We had to improve everything. There are some points where we have no leverage, like the engine, where we know that we are in the frozen period and we cannot improve the hardware. But we had to reduce the weight a bit. We were a bit overweight at the start of the season. And after, we had to understand a bit the car and to make some small upgrades or adapting the setup to make the car really working a bit better.
And how different is the culture inside the team now compared to 12 months ago when you took over?
I intend to think that we have improved quite a lot of things in terms of culture. There are some quite good signals that people are working much better in Enstone, between Enstone and Viry, in Viry. You know, we had very good guys coming. We had Eric Maignan in Viry and David Sanchez in Enstone, and both changed a lot the mindset of the people, because they know where they want to go, technically speaking, where we need to go, and they explain it very simply, clearly. That means that, you know, for an engineer, Formula One is very complex technically, and for an engineer, it's very easy to make the things complicated. But it's much more difficult to make it simple and clearer. We need to go there, and we will go following that route, reaching this goal, and explaining it to the people. And I think they are both very strong and very good at that. And since David arrived in Enstone, I think the mindset and the atmosphere and the momentum is building, and we're on the good way, I think.
Earlier in the season, you announced three technical directors. How does David work with those three guys?
Yeah, we first announced the three technical director organization with engineering, aero, and performance, in order to make a structure much more horizontal. Before, we were very vertical, very top down. The things are so complex now in Formula One, and there are so many things to do so quickly that if you wait for the vertical process to be followed, you are not efficient and you lose the opportunity to make the best use of the creativity of your guys. You have a lot of people, a lot of talented people, and a lot of good ideas, and we need to make the best of that. That's why we needed a more horizontal structure. When we implemented that, we knew that there was room for somebody on the top, a technical director, a CTO, whatever you call him. What David is giving is the direction, what we call the concept of the car. You know, we need a concept, and we need in which way we need to work. And this is what he's giving. He's giving he's guiding all the guys. He's an aerodynamicist, and can talk directly to the principal aerodynamicist, sharing information with everybody, explaining, showing the way, And it's a quite collaborative way, but with somebody who is showing the path and showing the way.
What is the biggest thing you've learned in your 12 months as team principal?
Not to talk too much to media, no?
Less is more.
Less is more. Especially in communication, you can ask our communication team. I always remove things in the press release. I never add anything. I just remove.
Now, you're an engineer. How much importance do you put on the drivers?
When you want to fight really for the top position, drivers are key, of course. I have a lot of respect for the drivers, all of them, because it's easy to comment when you are in your sofa or in front of your screen to make some comments. But I think we have not to forget they are making an amazing job. There are only a few people who are able to do what they are doing. But a driver is very important for the team for getting the last tenths in lap time, but also somehow to drive the team and to push the team. You know, all the big champions, one per decade or sometimes two per decade, they are very fast, of course, but they are very clever and they are strong leaders. And they are pushing the team to improve permanently in a positive way, criticizing, saying good when it's good, but pushing like hell when it needs to be improved. And drivers are of course masterpiece in the project.
Pierre has committed long term. He's in his second season with Alpine now. What impresses you about him?
It's a bit like the first season. Like he needed some races, and of course the car this year, the start of the season was really difficult, and everybody was disappointed by the performance of the car. But yeah, he needed a few races to really get the best of it, and he had quite a bad luck as well. He had quite some small or bigger issues, technical issues with the car, which didn't help, of course. But after a few races, he's doing a much better job, not only by his own way, of course, but because the car has less problem, except Silverstone, of course. Well, unfortunately, we had a DNS. But now he's really pushing hard, and I hope the second half of the season will be much better.
And does he have those leadership qualities that you look for in a driver?
Yeah, he has. He's really pushing on certain topic, and we need to find the right way, the right compromise, of course, to build a very constructive and positive relation.
I find that Pierre has a magnetic personality. When in a press conference, when you know all the drivers are on the sofa, before the cameras are turned on, it seems almost every time he's in there, the other drivers sort of somehow gravitate towards him and talk to him. Do you find that perspective as well?
I don't watch the driver press conference. Yeah.
But does he have... can't believe it. But does he have that magnetic personality within the team?
Yeah, I think he has. He has a personality within the team for sure. But I'm also sure that he can still bring more and he can develop that. He has this natural personality. And I'm sure that together, between him and the team, we can even develop that for him to bring more to the team.
Third place at Zandvoort last year is his best result on paper. What do you think has been his strongest performance at the team? Is it that race?
He made quite a lot of very good races, sometimes without the result. Monaco, where when Esteban had a podium, Pierre did a very, very good race as well. Unfortunately, he has been quite unlucky with a not-so-clever pit stop with the tyre change at the wrong moment due to the team. But, you know, it's especially when the track conditions are difficult that you can really see how good is a driver. And I think Monaco, Zandvoort last year, were especially good, yeah, sure.
Esteban Ocon is not staying with the team beyond 2024. He's been here for 5 years. When we talk about the lifespan of a driver at a team, do you feel is 5 years about the limit?
I don't know if there is a hard limit like that, but I think it was time. It's only always a case by case. I think it was the right time for both parties to split, and I'm quite happy we are splitting with a very good relationship. In fact, there is no clash, no problem, and I'm sure we are going to talk about Monaco, but...
I'm really interested that you say you're ending on good terms, because the public perception is that perhaps it hasn't ended so well because of things came to a head at Monaco when they clashed.
It was the visible part of the iceberg, Monaco, but it was the evidence that it was time to change for both. It was for both parties. We need dynamic in the team. We need to change instability, the movement, and you cannot be so stable like that. And you need to bring new ways, new ideas. A new driver will bring new things. And same thing for him. Having a different environment will enable him to improve certain things. And it will be. I'm 100% sure it will be good for everybody, for both, and for him as well. In fact, it's a bit of a paradox, but since we decided to split our ways, maybe the relation is more calm. I'm very happy that a few days ago we have been able to deliver the winning car in Hungary 21. It was a very good moment. I would have loved to be with his family there for that. But I think the relation is good.
And how do you reflect on having two French drivers in the French team? I mean, it smacks of Arnoux and Prost back in the day, or even Lafitte and Pironi at Ligier. Has it worked, or does it just put too much pressure on everybody?
I'm quite sure that we don't have a different setup than the other teams. You know, the main competitor, everybody knows the main competitor of a driver is his teammate. And there was a lot of noise about Ocon versus Gasly, Gasly versus Ocon. But, you know, I'm sure that in all the teams, it's in the same kind of situation. Look on the track, what's happened, Russell versus Hamilton, Leclerc versus Sainz. I think they are all racers, they are all fighters. They want to beat their teammate. This is just normal. And since Pierre has joined the team at the start of 23. Now, there's no specific problem due to that. And after being the two of them French, I think, to me, it's much better, because when I talk to them, I'm much more comfortable to speak in French. Except that it doesn't really matter to have a French, British driver or whatever the nationality. What we need is the guy who will bring the best to the team.
I remember seeing you on the Sunday night of Monaco after they'd clashed on the opening lap. And I think it's fair to say that you were angry. I think that's the right word. How do you deal with them in those situations? Are you hard? Are you ruthless? Do you mince your words?
To me, it's totally useless to be rude. We had a chat with Esteban, of course, after Monaco this year. As we had a chat with both of them, you know, after Japan last year, you know, when the story of swapping position, and to me, the way is to talk, to say it's good, it's not good, to say the things. I think it's important to take, and it's useless to be rude. You mentioned you saw I was upset. Normally, I don't have anything to add. If people see my face and knows if I'm happy or not happy. And that's enough. After, we need to discuss of what happened to make sure it won't happen again, and to do the best for the future. That's the only thing we need to do together.
Bruno, what has been your way? What is your legacy here at the team?
I guess here, after 1 year, maybe it's a bit short, but my way is being transparent, explaining, giving the information to everybody. I think you can make the people working together if everybody knows and understand why we are doing this or that, then being fully transparent and being trying to be as close as possible to the people, whatever the level is in the organization, because I think it's every single position is important. If you can have the best the best engineer in the world. If the mechanic is not good, make a mistake during the pit stop or when building the car, you won't have any result. And every single position is important, is crucial. And we say the function prevails to the grade. You know, they said sometimes in the Air Force, if the mechanic says that the plane is not ready to go, the pilot, even if he's a general, won't be authorized to take off. Then the same thing in Formula One. Every single position, and my way is to be close to the people and to explain and to make the people working together.
And are you convinced that the team has everything it needs to win in Formula One in terms of infrastructure?
I'm convinced that we have a lot. We have a lot, and we have everything. We have the potential to make a much better job from what we are doing right now, for sure. To win several titles in a row, I'm not 100% sure, but we have a lot of things. We have good people, we have good facilities, we have a good plan for keep modernizing the facilities. Then, I think we have a lot.
So, in conclusion, how do you reflect on the last 12 months? You've done so much in your career. Has this been the pinnacle for you?
I'm happy to have been part of the pinnacle of the motorsport. I'm not sure it's the pinnacle of my career because, Formula One is on the top of the pyramid of the motorsport. But I think Formula One has not to forget that there are also other disciplines which are really very interesting. Okay, they don't have a global impact like Formula One, but to me, anything makes sense if you have a very strong human dimension in the project. You know, when you do the Dakar in South America and spending 8 days at more than 4,000 meter altitude with 150 guys, you first realize that you realize quite quickly that the first goal will be to bring everybody home first. And after, if you can have the trophy of winning the race, it's of course the goal for the company. But you know, the human dimension in Formula One is maybe not the top one, and it's the pinnacle of motorsport. But I'm not sure it's the pinnacle in all ways.
And when Alpine wins a race, how much satisfaction will it give you for your contribution?
You know, I won a few races in my career and I never exploded being happy like crazy, because when you win a race, you just have made your job properly. It's just the sign that you made your job. Then I will be happy to have contribute a little, a very little, but like everyone in the team. And for sure, I'm still part of the Alpine project, and I will do my best to keep contributing.
Will we still see you at Formula One?
Yeah, why not? Yeah, not in an active role, but if somebody invite me, I will come. Yeah.
Okay. Well, it would be lovely to see you again, Bruno. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Well, it would be great to see you at the races, Bruno. Don't be a stranger. And thank you for agreeing to come on this week's show, because I know the Belgian Grand Prix was a crazy weekend as events concerning Bruno and the team's future unfolded. It was great to get your thoughts, Bruno, on everything that's happened over the past 12 months, and good luck for the future. Well, what did you think of this chat with Bruno? What kind of a job do you think he's done at Alpine since taking over from Otmar Szafnauer 12 months ago? Let me know through all the usual means. I'm at TomClarksonF1, or you can use the hashtag F1BeyondTheGrid. Which brings me on to what you sent in about last week's show with Bruno Michel, the boss of F2 and F3. It was fascinating to hear his thoughts on the biggest names that have passed through the series. And I thought this message from Roman Terzi summed up the episode well. In the past, there were so many junior formulas that it was hard to know who was quick and who wasn't. Now, all of the fast ones seem to come through F2 and F3, so it's much easier to see who has F1 potential and who doesn't. So thank you for that, Bruno. Well, thank you for your message, Roman. It was great to get your thoughts. And that's pretty much it for this week. Don't forget our two other official F1 podcasts. F1 Nation's review of the Belgian Grand Prix is out now. I'm joined by former F1 driver Stoffel Vandoorne and 9-time Le Mans winner Tom Christiansen to discuss that thrilling race at Spa-Francorchamps. And the latest F1 Explains provides fascinating insights into the life of F1 mechanics. And remember that you can watch a race live this year. To book your seat at Austin, Las Vegas, or another spectacular Grand Prix on the 2024 calendar, go to tickets.formula1.com. Well, that's it from me. Beyond the Grid is taking a short break over the summer holidays. We'll be back with a very big name from the current grid on Wednesday, the 21st of August. That's the Wednesday before the next race at Zandvoort. Thanks very much for listening. F1 Beyond the Grid is produced by Formula One and Audioboom Studios. Until next time, keep it flat out.